I tell you what.
Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. Broadcasting live, as always, at SkidRowStudios.com, Mondays at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And joining me, my favorite, because he's in the room with me, and yours, John Karunas.
Hey, guys, what's going on? It's JK, but it's no joke. That's going to be my new sign-on.
And that sets us up for the next 58 minutes.
Let's go.
One thing John and I love, Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of digital audiobooks with over 180,000 downloadable titles. They have everything you could be looking for. Titles across all genres. I'm actually re-listening to, I've listened to it at least twice before, Shut Up, Stop Whining, and Get a Life, by one of my favorite speakers, Larry Winget. And it's one of those books that I enjoyed so much. I got the audiobook first. And then I thought, okay, there's a lot of good stuff in here that I want to retain or write down. Or sometimes, as much as I like listening to things, because it's less work than reading. No. Sometimes I like to actually read stuff and then it better absorbs. So for something like this, which is a guide to getting and keeping things together, I thought, I'm going to get this book too. So yeah, on the third listen, and I've read it as well. So I definitely recommend that. And you can get that and, well, or a bunch of other titles from Audible.com for free. All you need to do is go to audibletrial.com/cape and get yourself a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial, so you can try out Audible, check out their service, see what it's all about. I listen all the time on my smartphone. That's my preferred version, actually. Listen to audiobooks. I love listening to it on my Android. So audibletrial.com/cape, get a book for yourself, and check out their service, and show a little love to our sponsor. And lots of stuff in the works. There's going to be some announcements next week. Nothing too drastic. But not like the host is being replaced, everybody. Sorry.
Like, I thought it was going to be like, you know, nothing too drastic. I'm going to be a dad, but, you know, it's nothing too crazy.
No, definitely not. But no, nothing like I'm being replaced. Yeah, my sister's going to step in and take over the show. So it's going to be Kate, but it's going to be Carol Abalo's podcast experiment. Changes
easy
the dynamic
transition.
A little bit. Yeah. So you all won't know. You can still subscribe to the same thing, but it's not gonna be me. No sweeping major transitions or anything, but some good stuff. There's been a lot of things in the works, so it's nice that stuff comes together. I was gonna say on paper, but nothing's on paper anymore. But as soon as things are set in stone, that doesn't happen either. But regardless, choose your metaphor. As soon as things are definite, that's when I like talking about them. So some stuff to talk about next week, because it's basically done, and the final version of all the details will be told to you all next week. Really quickly, want to mention something that I think is really, really cool. As many of you might know, probably know, or maybe not, President Barack Obama was on WTF with Marc Maron today. The episode was released today. And I thought it was great. I'm not a political person necessarily, but I think it's the fact that the president is doing an hour of long form conversation on a podcast further legitimizes what I do, what we do, what many do, because it's something that's still It's funny because podcasting is more of a mainstream format than it was even 2-3 years ago, because you got like, you know, Kathy Lee Gifford has her own podcast. Shaq just launched a podcast. I mean,
dude, Stone Cold Steve Austin has a podcast.
A shit ton of wrestlers have podcasts now. Yep. Yeah. So it's become fairly commonplace. And I truly believe, as I've said before, I believe there's room for everybody because listeners have all different tastes. So no matter what you're into, there's a show or a bunch of shows for you. And while something with the leader of the free world, commander in chief, et cetera, if he shows up on a podcast, I think just further legitimizes the medium. And I did listen to it today and I enjoyed it. And I have to give the president a lot of credit because in an era, I think now more than ever, when politicians speak in sound bites and everything's just quick hits to kind of answer a question, but not really answer. You hear a lot of things said among politicians like, I'm not against it. So are you for it? I didn't say that. Okay.
Make
you're basically
your
saying nothing. I like that he had a long form discussion, which was an hour. And it's, you know, he's of course being measured and, yeah, and being very succinct with his responses. And there's ums and uhs and pauses because same thing like we do here. You know, it's very candid conversation.
Plus, especially with a thing like Marc Maron, like that's a hugely popular podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big time podcast,
yeah,
dude.
Top five for sure.
Yeah.
And
didn't his podcast spawn a show, Maron? Like, the popularity of that is basically what got his TV show greenlit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a really followed guy. That's cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's such what a huge get. So it's congratulations to him, of course. And I enjoyed the show and it was good. I mean, as we all know, it's going to be met with a fair and balanced response from the internet community, because of how measured people are with their comments.
Right.
I'm sure it's going to get picked apart. One, because it's going to be, you know, Marc Maron used to be on a left-wing radio station. But he's a journalist. Or he's not a journalist. He's a comedian.
Yep.
So it doesn't need to be a real hard-hitting conversation, right? It's just an hour with a president who, I know people don't like humanizing, especially the president. They want somebody who will just get shit done. I understand that point of view, but the president is a human being. The government's made up of human beings.
And it's nice to be reminded of that from time to time.
Exactly.
I think so.
And I'm with you. So I did listen to it today. Certainly check it out, regardless of what side you're on, if you just want to hear a human side of the man. And again, I'm just happy that, you know, it's almost like maybe not as watershed or possibly even in a better light, like when Clinton went on MTV 20-odd years
with
ago.
With Arsenio Hall?
Yeah.
And let me come up with sunglasses and play the saxophone for you, which, don't get me wrong, I think is one of the coolest things of all time. Dude, that's incredible.
It was cool. I mean, people
but it's
say...
It's reaching today's audience. When Clinton needed today's audience, he went on Arsenio Hall's show.
Totally.
And played a sax. And that's like, if you want to reach the current... I mean, like, I don't know how you want to use this term, but like, the current in-the-know, intelligent people, like, those are the kind of people that are listening to Maron. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's a smart move.
Yeah, it's how you're reaching the audience that... And also in a way where it's not going through somebody else's filter.
Right.
Because stuff, you know, speeches, et cetera, they'll clip certain things. I mean, it'll probably ultimately happen with this, too, in the name of quote-unquote journalism.
Of course.
But at least there's the context of an hour-long conversation. So, you know, and it's not
an
all it's
unadulterated
not all
conversation where they could just talk uninterrupted for
right.
an hour.
Yeah. And up to date, by the way, it was recorded, as Marc Maron mentioned in the intro, recorded last Friday and just went up today. So it's fresh and includes a lot of references to things going on right now, including the recent tragedy in Charleston, which I'm only the intro song. I'm just having a little bit of fun with my Southern friends and fans. Because it's just, you know, the South's too fat to rise again. It's just a joke about this Confederate flag nonsense, that's all. It's like, you know, because people are pissed, as they're going to be. And not to take it into a serious area, I'm just having a bit of fun because of the the Confederate flag debate, which is going on separate, in part, but also separate from everything else.
Of course.
That's going on. Let's talk about some other stuff, John.
Let's
get a little sillier. when you go shopping, which you do, you're a grown-ass man.
I am. I think so. Yeah. Let's call it that.
Biologically?
Sure.
Okay. Do you use self-checkout when you go out?
Sometimes. It depends on what I'm doing. Can't self-checkout alcohol.
Well, yeah, that's one of the drawbacks of self-checkout.
Out the window on that one. No, I am definitely an advocate. And
so only 30%
patron,
of the time can you possibly use self-checkout?
if it's even 30%.
Okay.
No, but I am an advocate. Like, dude, if I go to Home Depot or something, and the reason why I say this is because I just did that this past weekend. Home Depot or like Lowe's or the grocery store, and you just have a couple of things, dude, self-checkout all day. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, let's be real. It might be a juvenile thing, but I'm a big kid at heart. I like scanning my own stuff. I like the whole, like, oh, well, this is great. And then you put it in the bag. Dude, I'm a kid. I like touching stuff. That sounds wrong, but
well,
you know what I mean.
I'll bring it back to
shut up.
We're men. We're simple to, we're easily entertained.
Yes.
So we hear something go beep. We're like,
I did that. Yeah. I did that.
We get excited. We made that thing go beep.
It's true, dude.
It's all comes from a very juvenile standpoint. So I'm with you. The thing that bugs me, and I've noticed more and more of this, people like going to self-checkout because they're like, oh, I don't need to wait on some slow cashier. But you must have, as I have, seen the people who pull up with a full cart. I mean, mm-hmm. a full shopping cart and check it out themselves and are slow as can be.
Of course.
It's that I don't get, because a cashier who actually does that for, let's say, 6 to 8 hours a day, several right. days a week, is going to be faster than your slow ass going,
Yeah, yeah. Plus, you can't move. Like, once you put the stuff in the bag, self-checkout, right? You put the stuff in the bag. You can't take the bag off of the tray.
Yeah, because it's weighted.
Exactly. So it's like, you're defeating the purpose. You're being stupid right now.
Yeah, if you have five things. If I went in to get a sandwich, a drink, and a roll of toilet paper, which happens often.
You're right. So, entirely
one
too
begets
often,
the other.
No, dude, self-checkout to me is like the super express.
Oh, yeah.
It's like two items or less, I'm self-checking out.
Yeah, I don't understand why. If you have a full cart of stuff, let a professional handle it.
Let them do it. That's what they're there
for. I was a cashier and cashier supervisor for ages. So, I mean, I'm pretty efficient anyway, but they're also foolproof.
Right.
If you're going through the handful of things.
Foolproof, you would think.
They're mostly foolproof. Nothing's 100% foolproof.
Mostly.
Because
I'll give you mostly.
Fools will always...
Fools run the world,
always
my friend.
Surpass. Yeah. We'll exceed your expectations.
Just
we're drastically outnumbered.
Yep.
Something else is getting about. You don't really grind my gears.
You don't really grind my gears.
I saw, for the first time, a new low. For humanity. Well, it was a man driving an SUV,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and stuck in his rear windshield was the baby on board sign, but it had the hangover baby on it. Okay. So I guess the guy thought, see, I'm not that kind of douche because it's a hangover baby and the hangover's a cool movie. I hate to tell you, dude, you are that kind of douche because you still have a fucking baby on board sign in your rear windshield. You're with me, obviously.
That's really funny, actually.
It's true. Like, the guy's trying to be like, I'm not that guy. I'm cool.
Your,
no, you're not.
Breakdown. I'd be like, guess who's got a baby on board, but it's baby Carlos from a super funny movie with Zach Galifianakis.
Exactly.
Like, you're no better, sir. Yeah. You're no better.
You still paid $4.99 for that stupid sign, and you're still displaying it in the back of your...
That's fantastic. He crosses out baby and he just writes in good time, like,
good time on board
here, pal. Just a cool single dude living his life. Starts crying.
He forgot to black out the baby.
Right.
He's like, oh, God damn it. Good time on board. No, not like that.
That's
sets
wonderful.
Off an Amber Alert.
I feel like you're talking about that being a new low. I feel like I witness on a pretty much daily basis. I feel like I'm witnessing some guys just midlife crisis, like, every single day.
Around here, it's insane.
Well, no, like, there is, I'm talking about a specific example, and I feel like I am seeing this guy's midlife crisis, like, right before my eyes.
Good.
And he pulls into work, he pulls into work in a brand spanking new Maserati convertible. Mm-hmm. And we're talking, like, this guy is the white-haired, like, he's got to be in... It's got to be in his
11s. Yeah.
It's got to be at least like in his 60s. And it's like this brand, which I realize is also past your midlife crisis, but maybe it's just now catching up.
But recently divorced.
Yeah.
We'll put
and
him in that category.
Right, it's this brand spanking new Maserati convertible, and he is blasting music. But it's like he didn't quite get the memo because he's not blasting today's hits. It's not like he's got like Pitbull on full blast. We're talking ear-piercing, bleeding eardrums, like, my Sharia. come on. And it's like, dude, you can't blast oldies to the point of making your ears bleed.
So yeah, it doesn't
like,
work.
I'm watching. I feel like I'm just watching this guy's life fall apart. But he's like, I still got it. I still got it, man. It's just me and my Abba Zabba and my Maserati. It's like, sir, I don't know what your life is.
Yeah, but you just want to leave a note on this car. Please stop. Signed, right. Everyone.
Dot, dot, dot. You're not alone.
I feel like it's more rampant around here because there's a lot of middle-aged guys walking around. It's like if you see them specifically in the Ed Hardy clothing.
Oh, dude.
It's like they're middle-aged. They have to be recently divorced.
Yep.
So, but they've made it in life, so they have more money than they did when they were 25 and better looking and, you know, a smaller waistline and more hair and all that other stuff. They still think they're that guy because they have money, which... Money will, I'm going to upset the women in Michigan troll, but look, money will add hair to a guy's head, will take years off his face, will change a missing tooth into a gap, which is one of my favorite Sinbad jokes. And it's true. Like, money will offset a lot of things, but there's a point where it's like, okay, this is a recently divorced dude who now has some money and wants to act like he's younger than he is. I always look at that as just like, that's sad. But I see that around here, because I think here it gets more of a pass than it would for the sake of comparison in
sheer
New Jersey.
Numbers. It's a numbers game. There's just more of them. So, like, proportionally speaking, man, that's it. But, yeah, when you talk about that specific look, like the guys in the Ed Hardy stuff, I'm sorry. But if your T-shirt is shinier than your woman's hand or the jewelry that's on it, you need to get your life together.
Yeah.
It's not okay, dude. It's not okay.
Blinged up T-shirts are not cool. Or even worse, the jeans. Like the Affliction... jeans or what? I don't know if they make jeans or not. I just see the same logos on the same dudes.
If you have to pay money, that comes down to like you paid money for scuffed jeans. You paid money for it. It drives me nuts. Like that whole. Yeah,
I'm with
I
you.
Can't,
I can scuff up jeans just fine on my own.
Right.
I don't need to pay an extra $80 to guests do it for me.
But dude, they're true religions. Please. Please.
What does that even mean? What kind of name is that for a denim company? Pants are my religion.
I swear by my denim. That should be their tagline. No, I'm just not. I'm not.
That should be
it.
My tagline.
Yeah, right.
I live in jeans.
I swear by my denim.
I swear by my denim. I think that's the name of this
my
episode.
My inseam knows me. Yeah. Nope. Can't
or
do it.
Or does it?
Right.
I think. And now, while we're in an angry place. Well, let me know.
What's the deal?
Let me know. Yeah, what's the deal with oranges? Anyway, why do they call them oranges? I'm gonna get a little bit more brash than that. I can't stand, and I don't care if it's harsh, which it probably is. I can't stand the parking next to the handicap spaces, which is parent with child parking, because.
Okay.
Here's. My problem, not my fault. And I'm not going to go so far as to call children a handicap. And Grant, I have a couple of friends who have kids who say, well, you don't understand. You don't have kids. Yeah, that's right. I don't understand.
You're 100%
and I don't have kids.
Correct.
And I don't think because you forgot to silence your iPhone and a text message went off, scared your boyfriend, he blew it inside of you. Now you get to park closer than I do. No fair. No, that's bullshit. All right.
You get to park closer than me now.
Yeah. No.
I'm only gonna play devil's advocate.
Thanks.
Think about all the shit that they have to put up with when they drive away from that parking spot that's right outside of Target. Think about that. Because you park 30 spots away. And you walk in past these people that park right there, and you're just like, giving them this. And they get back in that minivan, and that kid is throwing stuff around the car, and he's screaming. And all that mom is thinking about is like, I think I'm going to drive off the freeway today. I think I'm just going to hit the embankment.
I'm going into Malibu Canyon.
Right?
While you're like 68 miles an hour.
While you're sitting there in Target, like, man, the deals in here are outstanding.
I'm walking around looking at the new Peanuts merchandise for summer. I'm like, this is great.
What? These DVDs are only $5?
And now
she's get them all.
Borderline homicidal.
That's my only devil's advocate. Because I mean, like, yeah, it's kind of annoying.
I mean, look, I have two good legs. I can walk, so I'm not coming down. I'm like, I should have that space. I just think putting that next to people who have a handicap is a little like,
And
cue the special guest.
Yes.
I thought that those signs, me and Sherry thought those signs meant for expectant mothers.
Those are just as bad.
So there's actually ones. Ones for just annoying kids.
Parent with child.
I think it's, yeah, like you're pulling up in the minivan and you've got kids in car seats. Like, I think it's both.
It doesn't say there's a minimum or maximum. So if you have at least one kid.
The implication of this is it causes a lot of problems.
It causes a lot of problems when I get a ticket for parking in that spot because I don't have a kid with me when I walk out. That's where the confusion is.
I think it works both ways. I think it's women expecting children, and I think it's women that have to also, like, if they have children in car seats, like infants or toddlers.
Yes.
And they've got, you know, what am I, baby carriages. Mm-hmm. Now, what am I thinking of?
Strollers.
Baby carriages. I was going to say, you know, like
or the bondage gear that the baby from The Hangover was tied up in.
I really wanted to say the word bassinet, but I don't think that's a thing anymore.
I don't know if it's
I digress.
Can't say I've kept up on it.
I digress. I think we're both right. I think we're talking about the exact same thing.
There are expectant mother spots, too.
I do have an opinion about that, though.
Shoot.
Because aren't expectant mothers supposed to walk?
Oh, I'm with you.
Snap.
And that's a woman. So tweet your hate mail to. Just kidding.
I don't have a Twitter. Thank God.
No, I'm with you. Well, the funny thing is, I always laugh when I see pregnant women always complain about their back, and then they're all walking around in flip flops, which to me is kind of like, well, you should be wearing. Get a pair of New Balances.
Get a pair of fit flops.
Fit flops. Get those sneakers Joe Namath wear or Joe Montana wear. Yeah, those Skechers that'll
Skechers.
Shape your calves or something. Right? Wear those, not flip-flops.
I've never walked better in my life.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe Montana.
Piece of foam board with
like
a strap.
She just chimed in and just mic dropped, like, aren't you supposed to walk?
Yeah. Thank you, Cheyenne. You get an applause for that.
Yes. I approve.
I do, too. Cheyenne Hayes, our engineer, everybody, who's joined by Sherry Bass, who you all know from every week that John's not here, pretty much.
Sherry.
So that's one of my things. Another issue I had, this has all happened within like the last week and within a short amount of time.
Lay it on me.
The petitions outside of stores, that's rampant here. I've never been anywhere else where every time you go in and out of a store, there's somebody standing outside with a clipboard, some dick standing there. Well, actually, no, it's not even a guy. It's usually a cute blonde, which because
where
I'm a guy
shopping?
And I'm stupid. I'm immediately like, oh, she said hi to me, pretty. So I listen to whatever she has to say anyway.
She wants me to sign a paper. It's going to happen.
Hi, how are you? Huh? Yeah. Is your number on here, honey? No. What?
Right.
Green initiative, get away.
Although I have a pickup line for you right now, man. You should be like,
wait on me.
I'm going to give you my support. I think the least you could do is give me your number.
Ooh.
Sherry's just cringing in the booth like, oh.
We should be charging for this show.
Right?
That's good.
That's terrible. I just made that up special for you, sir. Right now.
You've had that chambered since January, and you just finally have the space to say it.
I've got a couple of really funny ones.
Let's take a break from my anger and go on. I have more thoughts on the petition people. Go ahead.
You got a girl, and you might have heard some of these. Sherry, you might have heard some of these. Cheyenne might have heard some of these. You go up to a girl, you should be like, feel this shirt. And they rub the shirt, be like, you know what that is?
What?
Boyfriend material. That's, you and I both know that's funny.
That's hilarious.
Here's my favorite one, though. Here's my favorite one. And I also want you to know that I've never actually put this into use, but in the back of my head, I'm like, God, that is gold. That is gold.
And you're just giving it away right here.
So say Chris and I are at the bar. Say we're at the club, you know? Say we're at the local...
When are we not?
Piggly Wiggly or wherever you are. And say we see Sherry across the bar, right? And obviously we're talking and making eye contact with her. And she's noticing that we're talking and making eye contact with her. So then I finally go over to her, right? I go over and I make nice with Sherry and I say, hey, do you see my buddy over there in the black shirt? She'd be like, yeah. Like, he wants to know if you think I'm cute.
Oh, that got two laughs. Yeah, we heard that through
the
soundproof glass.
The booth laughed at that.
That's 100% approval rating.
That's validation.
I think so.
Validation. It's good, right?
It's going to work.
It's good. Sherry loves it. Sherry loves it.
Spinning gold.
Now let's get back to the anger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Petition people.
petition
people. But you know what I'm talking about, the people standing outside. Used to be, because it's usually for, first of all, I want to start a task force to find out how many of these petitions where people stand outside stores. I want to know how many of them actually have success. And I mean that seriously. Because it seems like almost every store, whether it's a grocery store or it's Best Buy or Target's pretty good about shooing people away. But overall, most of the stores I go, where someone's waiting outside with a clipboard, and they're not, even if there are two entrances, they're planted at everyone.
Of course.
And but see, it used to be, especially out here, which is, dare I say, more environmentally conscious out here, or there's more of there are greater numbers of people who try to be green or environmentally oriented. There's a lot of that out in Southern California. It used to be you could spot those guys because it'd be a dude with a clipboard who has a beard and is wearing flip-flops. But in 2015's America, every dude has a beard and is wearing flip-flops. So you can't even spot the guy who's going to hit you up for a signature.
A out, like, hey,
you got 2 minutes from Mother Earth, brother? Nope.
Oh,
just walk away.
You know what?
I keep going. Because what are they going to do? Evict me off the planet? No.
It's okay. So in my experience, it's not even so much in the outside of stores. It's worse in the malls.
Oh, yes.
In the malls, dude. That bottom floor of a mall is just a trap. And I feel like I'm walking around a touristy city in Mexico and they're trying to get me to come into their store.
To buy Chiclets.
Yeah, to buy Chiclets or buy the little wooden turtles. But it's like
Tijuana nights.
Right. No, but like you walk around and they're just, I feel like in malls, dude, they're the people, let me see your hands. Be like, no, can't see my hands. Get away from me.
Yeah. Here, feel this. I'm like, what? No. Get away. They shove stuff right in your face. They're joking about it right now in the booth.
Your kiosk.
We're hitting home a lot today.
Go
I got
to
say.
Your kiosk. Listen, Zag.
I don't want your knockoff sunglasses or your miracle creep.
Get out of here. Get your miracle.
Your snake oil.
Right? With your.
Use
with
a nice
your,
modern term.
With your body scrub from the Dead Sea. Get out of here.
Dead Sea cells. Well, what good are they going to do me? I'm alive.
Get out. Yeah, it's the malls.
Just because it's blue, it doesn't mean it's from the ocean. I just bought a raspberry lollipop. It was blue.
That's it. The malls are the worst, dude.
Came from the Charms Factory.
They're the worst.
No, I'm with you. That bottom floor, yeah, you're right with all the kiosks. I try to stay on the top floor, or I'll eye it from over the railing.
I like we're strategizing like mall visits right now. You got to stay on the top floor.
Listen, shoppers,
you go
careful.
Down
we're
the
6 months
back
early
to the food court. You get your Mongolian barbecue. You go back upstairs and then you leave.
Yeah, and get hit up for samples.
There you go.
I gotta say though, if I were 19. And I were out here when I was 19, like you maybe were. I'd probably join up with one of these groups too, because from what I've seen, at least judging by the clipboard holders I see by the store entrances, it's like five women for every guy. So he's got a pretty good shot of rounding second base with at least one of them. So like I get it. It's like a friend of mine who, in I think it was eighth grade, I signed up for home ec, and I'm like, home ec, that glass is full of girls. He said, yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, God, you're
genius. God, he's
a genius. That's brilliant. And sure enough.
Sir, what's it like in Mensa?
He was the only guy. He was. He was the only guy in that home ec class. I'm like, I should have done that. If I was here, I would have. Because it's like dudes who do like school plays and stuff. Yeah. Mostly chicks.
I did school plays.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Well,
know there are women watching us, but just nod your head and agree with me. Piggyback on my points.
Okay, so on that point, what job did you have when you were 19? What did you do when you were... What was a 19-year-old Chris like?
19 was cashier.
Cashier?
Cashier. And right after I turned 20, I became lead cashier.
Oh, snap.
I know. Sounds fancier than it was.
Dude, you get the special access codes. You get to give people change. Hell yeah.
I was mostly...
You get to close people out.
Not at that point, because lead cashier was kind of like a full-time position, like a guaranteed 40-hour kind of thing. But it was mostly merchandising, because I did prior to the job in that store, I had worked in Old Navy my senior year of high school, one of the best years of my life. Not because working in Old Navy, because everything that surrounded senior year. Which, by the way, give or take a week, about 15 years since I graduated high school, folks. That's right, I graduated in 2000. So
good for you.
Where the fuck does the time go? Anyway, so 19-year-old Chris. It's a distant memory.
Did you say you graduated in 2007?
What's that? Who said, what, one of them?
No, I thought you did.
What, me?
What year did you graduate?
2000.
I thought you said 2007. I was like,
Did I say 2007?
No, you said 2000.
Okay, I thought so.
Apparently I'm an idiot, so come on with your story, Chris.
I'm like, did I really? Am I that senile?
No, you're good.
I hope not. Okay. Just checking, because, see, I question my memory and my brain-to-mouth connection enough
I'm just to wonder you on whether your toes, or not, dude.
Apparently.
I'm just keeping you on your toes.
And slowing the show at the same time. So to back up to what I was saying before.
Yep.
I spent a lot of time at Old Navy merchandising and doing shipment-oriented work, so they kind of promoted me to full-time so I can merchandise the displays on the front end of the store, which was cool.
Cool.
So that's actually what I was doing. What were you doing? This is pre-hosting, right?
This was pre-hosting. This was when...
I don't know how often you listen when you're not on the show, but I keep threatening to show your hosting reel on the show. I have it, and I'm not going to do it, but I...
I'm proud of my hosting reel. I like my hosting reel.
Well, it's actually quite funny, but it's on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'm not embarrassed by my hosting. It needs to be updated, but I'm not embarrassed by it.
Just, you know, for laughs then, rather than take up, I don't know, 5.5 minutes on the show. Well, we'll put it, if you check the Cape55 link at chrisball.com, I'll embed it and you can watch John's hosting reel. Because it's fun. He's good. I wouldn't be doing it if it was like crazy embarrassing.
Thanks, man. No, I'm not embarrassed by it.
No, it was. It's good stuff.
I had a great time doing all of the things that are on that. It just needs to be... modernized, that's all.
Well, feel free to use some clips from Chris Bell's podcast.
Hey,
you'll be doing, not that there's any immediate plans, but yeah, FYI for anyone, because people have said, when are you going to take a break? Well, if I'm on the inevitable trips home to New Jersey, I have put feelers out to some of the regulars on here about filling in as hosts for the show. So if I'm not in California, or if for whatever reason I can't make it, the show will go on.
See what I'm saying?
So for the sake of padding and bringing your hosting reel up to date, you'll be sitting in this chair. You'll be on the double chin cam. We'll see how you like it. Anyway, 19-year-old John.
Let's see. 19-year-old John was in college, and I was working. Let's see. Because when I was in college, I was a full-time student. So I wasn't working when I was in school. I would do odd jobs. Let's see. Because that was... Hang on. I'm figuring out my timeline in my head.
Okay.
That would have been... after freshman year. So that would have been going into senior. Wow. And on that note, I remember my 19th birthday. But
almost 10 years ago. Your birthday's coming up in a few days.
My birthday's on Friday.
And you're going to be 29.
29.
So we're going back a
decade. I remember my 19th birthday. If my brother is watching this right now, he might also remember my 19th birthday, which was in San Diego. And it involved some despicable acts. But moving right along.
We're coming back to that.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, 19.
So... 19, I was in school. When I wasn't in school, I was working construction. I would go home and I would work construction.
That's funny. I briefly worked as a roofer when I was 19 before I got a job in the store. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a couple of weeks. The owner of the company wasn't reliable. We got paid once. And the guy who I got hired along with, we both quit.
Nice.
No, did work and didn't get paid for it. So we're like, we're out of here.
No, they let me come and go as I pleased, which was cool. It's a really cool crew of just characters. There was Toothless Juan. True stories, dude. There was Robert from MS-13. So good times. And of course, their nickname for me was, I was just Güero, because that's white boy in Spanish. That was my nickname. So I had a great time, but they would let me do like on my spring breaks or my Christmas break and then summer breaks, I would go and I would do construction and then that was about it.
Yeah, that's true because you were out here, so it's year-round out here. It's not like
my oldest
roofing
brother
in January
also,
in New Jersey like I did.
My oldest brother also, he runs his own, like he owns his own general contracting company, so I would work like jobs with him. So yeah, construction, school, and a party animal. That was it, man.
How many of you are there?
I'm the youngest
siblings.
Of four.
Is it four? Yeah, really? Yeah. I know. I've met your older sister. I'm
it's
aware
me,
you have a brother.
Sister, brother.
All older?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm the baby, which apparently explains a lot about me.
Really?
Apparently. That's what
feel free. I think I've used it on the show before. Well, I've used it publicly before anyway, but I always say my parents stopped at perfection. Feel free to use that as well.
That's what my mom always said. I always wanted a little brother. I wanted somebody to mold to be the coolest person ever. And I would always ask my mom, like, I want a little brother.
Hang out in those parent with child spots and you'll find one.
But her cop-out line was always like, once I got it right, I stopped. I was like, God, that's such a good line.
She chambered that for ages.
She did.
Like, when he asked
it's
why we
she
stopped,
gets out of everything.
I'm not going to tell her he was too much to handle. And we said, we're done.
There you have it.
Yep. Now, because thinking about, I've been reflecting on it. I actually have, feel free to follow me on social media at, or I should say on Instagram at Chris Sells Out, and on Twitter at Chris Abalo. And John, hey, it's John K on Instagram.
Hey, it's John K.
Because we forgot to plug that up top. But I actually have a picture from my graduation night that I'm going to be uploading for Thursday or Friday. One of those days where you post old pictures. So I have one scanned and ready to go for this week because it is 15 years. And thinking about it, because we're talking about 19, old man talk, but it's crazy to think like we're talking about 10 years ago and you're like, that just happened.
I feel weird, like it just happened. Yeah. Totally. I remember it like it was yesterday, but at the same time, then it's like, man, but God, I'm going to be 29, which in the grand scheme of things is not, obviously is not very old in the grand scheme, but sitting on it from this side, it's like, yeah, I'm not a kid anymore.
Mm.
And it's, I was reading something and somebody was talking about that. It was like, you in your head, you're convinced that you're not that young until you hang out with people who are that young age. And then it's like, you guys are idiots.
Yes.
And
you don't realize at the time. You're too, yeah. You're like in the eye of the storm. So you don't realize.
It's like, I don't think I was that stupid at that age. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably were.
But
Almost everybody is. No, probably. They're shaking their heads now. They're like, no, you guys were fine. They didn't know us.
But. Yeah. No, my brother just turned 18 today.
And he's an idiot?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, he is an idiot. But okay. It's like, I was.
You're the older
like
sister.
In a loving way.
I even cried last night because I was looking at his baby pictures.
Oh,
and
my God.
I was like, where the fuck did the time go?
What happened?
I was just like, I didn't have time to mold him. Like, he's his own person now.
I'm so
and I
sorry
hate him.
I failed you.
See, you didn't miss out, John. Everything.
No, I don't hate him, but he's like, it's totally different than what I expected.
Well, yeah.
And I had a really fun moment because my sister semi-recently just got engaged to a dude who was actually younger than me by 2 years. And when that happened, I was like, I'm getting a little brother.
That's beautiful.
It was pretty funny.
In a way, that's that's kind of poetic. Wow.
Loved it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Finally, after all these years. It's come to pass. I can't believe it. You know, actually, my the funniest thing, it didn't really affect me when I turned 30. In the same way, you're like some of my friends who were younger than me and therefore stupid were actually like expected to wake up on their 30th birthday and like my back hurts, you know, and
all
stuff
right.
like that. And it won't because there's no actual it's completely it's social
arbitrary.
It's a social stereotype that like, well, you're 30 now. Like 30 doesn't mean what it used to mean because we're glorified children, essentially. You and I sitting here now, specifically. No, but it doesn't carry the same weight, I think, it once did, just because socially things have changed. But, like, it didn't bother me so much when I turned 30. It was just like, I'm in a new decade. Okay, it's been 10 years since the last one. You know, it wasn't
right,
weird. It was very
right.
logical, but it was actually, it was more strange because I was, insert all the jokes you want, was back living with my parents at the time, and they were more affected by me turning 30. Their youngest turning 30 than I was. Like my mother was sitting there literally on my 30th birthday. Not like she wasn't curled up in a ball and weeping or anything, but she was just like, where did the time go?
Of course.
Like our youngest child's 30. Like it just,
right.
it just kind of messed them up. We're like, wow, can you believe this much time has passed?
But the times have definitely changed, especially this like life expectancy is 100 years old now.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's nothing. It's a blip right now.
40, 50 years ago, life expectancy wasn't that long. So we're all expected to go the distance nowadays. So it's like, oh, you're 30. And I mean, it's because I feel that sitting on the side of it that I'm sitting on. But I talk to people who are in their 60s mm-hmm. and they say like, wait, how old are you? You're like, I'm 29. You're like, what a baby.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm not a baby.
Yeah.
Like, I swear I'm not a kid. I act like it.
But you think it's funny because there's a lot of my, I mean, I even said that to, you know, friends of mine who are 25 and I said, there's a lot of mileage between, you know, 25 and 33, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I'm inherently the same person, but a lot has happened.
Yep.
Or even between, you know, 21 to 25, like there are those blocks of time where it's just like, there's so much growth that you don't really realize.
My brother has a perfect analogy for it. It's like, imagine, okay, your life is like a pie graph. And the younger you are, the bigger slice of pie each year is. You know, like when you're two, you cut the pie in half. Three and thirds, four and fourths. And the older you get, each slice gets smaller and smaller and smaller because you have to divide it evenly. And that's why it's like the years now, they just fly by, dude. My birthday's on Friday. My 28th birthday, I felt was like a week ago. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, shit. Yeah, a year already went by. Damn, okay.
We've known each other almost 2 years already. Can you believe that?
Yeah. And went by quickly.
Yeah.
I remember talking to him on the corner.
We were working on a production together doing audience wrangling. And it's funny to think, like, God, that was 2 years ago. Even the fact, it was kind of weird how fast it went, because literally 2 weeks later, you were on this show in its original incarnation in my apartment.
That's right.
But it was like 2 weeks, like, we just hit it off. We're just in touch. And it was just like, why don't you come on? Let's talk about it. Because I didn't know about it. You touched on the hosting thing for cruises, right, et cetera. Right. I said, well, come on, we'll talk about it. And we wrote a ton of bit stuff we still need to put together. I still have a notebook of stuff we wrote over a couple of meetings.
I remember that.
And stuff which we are going to produce. That's part of what's happening kind of behind the scenes now. But it's crazy to think, like, even the last 2 years, I'm like, I've known you and Norman and Candace almost 2 years already. It's just nuts to think about.
Crazy.
I met you guys in August of 2013, and we're almost there. I've been doing this show here for 5 months. This is 55, so this is the 24th episode, 23rd episode. I've been doing it. Like, I've been at Skid Row Studios for over 5 months already. It's crazy. I can't believe I'm doing this live show.
Where
racked up a lot of hours.
Where does time go?
And next week, something I'll touch on more, I'm sure, next Monday, which, by the way, John will be back along with Norman and Candace, and the long-teased erotica reading performances will be happening.
Also, I've reread my story from last time. I've reread it like a cool five times, and I can't get through without laughing my ass
brilliant.
Off.
I love it. All the feedback I got, with the exception of the two squares in the room, who weren't crazy, or I just didn't get the joke.
I guess they didn't.
I got a tremendous response. I got a lot of text messages from friends and whatnot from the following day, just like, that was fucking genius. So much so that, and I told you about this, but my friend Ryan, who's getting married next April, his ideal would be for me to bring you as my date to his wedding, because he wants to meet you. And I said, I'm sure he'd consider it.
I'm not above it.
I'm not above it. And I'm fine, too. It's like, we can go. It's just, you know, men and women go as friends to weddings all the time. I can bring you as my date.
And we can use the pickup lines.
Oh, could you imagine? That's the funny thing. We're both single. You are, as far as I know, still single?
Essentially?
You're unattached.
When it comes to paperwork, I'm still single, yes. I still file single.
I can't believe we have not gone out whoring together. Like, I would have expected by now we would have gone to Vegas.
19-year-old John would have been right there.
19-year-old Chris was working. But I'm kind of surprised. You would like, being in a city, like, when I was, what was I when I moved back? I was 31 when I moved back here. And it bears repeating, but one of the best lines my friend Michael said to me when I came out here, we met through doing voiceover together. And he's a few years older than me. And he said, oh, man, you're 31 and you're single and you're out here? I said, yeah. He's like, oh, man, you've got it made. Because you know what? You want to date a girl who's 22? It's okay. You want to date a woman who's 39? That's okay. He's like, it's wide open for you. He's like, you're the perfect age to be in a city and single. And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. And that's just kind of funny. Like, we have all these. I mean, it's borderline Night at the Roxbury level bad if you and I were actually to go out and do this.
Which is hilarious to me. And that's all I'm trying to do is make myself laugh, man.
We're in this for us. It's nothing to do with
that's all that is.
Conquering the opposite sex. No, not at all.
I'm just trying to get a good cheap laugh out of it. That's it.
I'm not looking to get like, I'm looking to get laughs.
That's it. I realized that about myself a long time ago. It's like, the only thing I'm ever trying to do is make myself laugh, and it happens all the time. That's my MO, man. I'm okay with that. Like, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, I do that too. I crack myself up.
People
think that's cheesy. They're like, laughing at your jokes. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm in this for me.
Yeah.
I mean, if you find it funny, bonus. But ultimately, I'm trying to make myself laugh.
I had that conversation with my dad not too long ago. We were talking. I forget how it came up, but it was like, I told him, I was telling him about a conversation I was having with somebody else. I was like, so I said this and this and that. And I laughed. And my dad was like, you laugh at your own jokes a lot, don't you? I was like, yeah, because I'm hilarious. I don't understand the disconnect here.
Yeah. Like, well, why would I not?
Right? Dad, I'm the funniest guy I know. Go on.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
If anything was funny, I wouldn't be telling you the story.
That's why I respect Matt Stone and Trey Parker of South Park so much, because they talk about, like, when we do our thing, we are not concerned with making America laugh. Like, we're not trying to make people laugh. Like, we're just trying to make each other laugh. That's it.
Yeah.
And in doing that, other people also find it funny, but that's not the purpose. They're like, we're just trying to crack each other up. That's all that is.
That was the same ethos behind Monty Python when they were making the show. They didn't have an audience in mind. They were just trying to make each other laugh. And look,
that's it.
And that's now with the access to everything, you can do that. Everything's wildly available, and there's something, like I said earlier, there's something for everybody. It actually brings up a good question that I was asked yesterday, because I didn't have a really good answer for, other than naming my tastes. So I'll ask you, hopefully you'll have a decent answer. How would you classify your sense of humor? Obviously you like puns, but that's a tough question.
I like puns, but that's not like...
That's not the core.
No. I do puns. That's just filler. That's all that is.
Those are quick hits.
Yeah, I can't help puns because they just come immediately to my brain. What I like, and I don't know, it's going to be tough to put into words. What I like is well-placed, intelligent, random humor. Not to say, kind of like expect the unexpected. I do not like physical comedy. Is like, it has its moments. It, for me, it has to be random. Like, I did not see that coming, and that's hilarious. Mm-hmm. The best way that I can think to explain it is old school episodes of The Simpsons. We're talking seasons like 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
They have random, super intelligent humor.
Oh, yeah.
I think
they hit their stride like 3 to 7.
Yeah.
Like, that was a real...
Yeah. It's true. Anything like season 8 or prior is hilarious.
Yeah, pretty much.
Conan, I'm also a big advocate of Conan because he's got that random, like, just super intelligent, quick wit. I'm going to say something random, super funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly how to describe it. That's a good question because I've never really been, it's never been posted
to
me
weird,
that
right?
way.
Yeah.
I mean, well-timed, well-placed, intelligent, random humor.
It's funny because people get, I mean, humor's so subjective, and comedians have said it. People in, frankly, the entertainment industry say it, just like everyone's an expert on comedy because everybody finds different things funny. My thing with when it comes to sense of humor, like, I'll pick an easy example, not for the sake of being contrary, just because it's an easy one. Like, I know you're a fan of Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find Will Ferrell funny, and people like, not you, but friends of mine who just love everything he does, just say, I don't get, how do you not find it funny? And for me, it's supposed to be that reaction where you see something, it makes you laugh automatically. You've no control. Like, it's involuntary.
Right.
It needs to have that kind of response for me instead of like, you should find this funny. And therefore I then find it funny. It needs to have that involuntary, like, wow, I didn't expect that. Like that kind of thing you're talking about.
Right.
Where that's the stuff that makes me laugh. The stuff that kind of catches me off guard is gives me that involuntary laugh out loud response.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I'm looking for. It's everyone could be all hipstery and sit back and just be like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But that's not really enjoying anything.
What really gets a rise out of me, there's a show on Adult Swim called Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule, starring John C. Reilly as Dr. Steve Brule. And it's the most absurd but genius thing I've ever seen. And I say that to people and then they watch it and it's like, you either get it or you don't. And that sounds so cliche. Like,
no,
you either understand it or you don't. If you get it, you understand why it's one of the funniest things on TV, because it's bad and random and funny and just a performance. So Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule is very much my sense of humor. And there's one, and I always come back to this because it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen on a TV show. And it's one moment in The Simpsons. The Simpsons is just, they're just
riddled
with good comedy in the old seasons. But there's one moment that no matter what, without fail, every single time, it just destroys me. Like, I'm left in tears. And it's the episode, it's Homer versus the Quickie Mart. And it's when he goes to the Quickie Mart and he eats a bunch of bad food, and Apu loses his job at the Quickie Mart. And so to make up for it, he goes to like live with the Simpsons and work in their home to like work off the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when he does the song, Who Needs the Quickie Mart? And it's like this big musical number. And at the very end of it, everybody of The Simpsons like has their own line where it's like, you know, like Bart, let's hurl a bricky mart. They made that sicky mart. And then it finally gets to Homer and he has one line and he botches the only line he has in the song. And it's like, let's hurl a bricky mart. They made that sicky mart. Their floors are sticky mart. The quickie mart is real. Dome, and he realizes, like, you had one line, you had to rhyme it, and you fucked it up. And that just, every time I see it, I cry with laughter because, like, that's funny to me. It's random, intelligent. Like, that's just, that's genius. That I get that.
That kind of randomness.
Yeah.
I recently, my sister was, when we were younger, and I'm not really calling her out for it, but it was before there were adult cartoons or cartoons with cursing, because I was 8 when The Simpsons came on the air. And I would try to sneak and watch it because my parents wouldn't have approved. And it was new, so nobody knew how to... I mean, this is long before South Park or anything. And South Park took it to another level when it came to scaring the shit out of parents.
Yeah.
But my sister would always be like, Mom, you know, Chris is watching The Simpsons. So I essentially wasn't allowed to watch it. And she never really was turned on to it until the FX marathon last year, or the FXX marathon that was on last year.
Where
was
every like, Simpsons ever.
And and it still is like 5 days a week, all Simpsons all the time. And so she kind of caught up then. And I always told her she should go back because her and I are huge fans of Futurama, which that's why when Futurama started, all the best writers from The Simpsons went and wrote that, which is why that was brilliant.
Futurama, and, dude, was amazing.
I love that show.
I was
show
just talking
so
with
much.
Somebody about Futurama.
I love that show. And I could rewatch it. It has a little bit more of a place in my heart than The Simpsons does.
Okay.
Not that The Simpsons isn't great, but I like the fantastical element where it's like this stuff because it wouldn't happen.
And you can
Simpsons
get away with more. You can get away with more in Futurama because it's totally.
Because it's not reality.
People are like dissecting the reality of Futurama
well,
versus
Simpsons
The Simpsons
is a slice of life, whereas Futurama is complete fiction. We're sounding like what's the fucking guy who works in the comic shop on Simpsons?
Simpsons ever.
Anyway, so she really got turned on, and now she absolutely loves the show. But the thing that we watched it recently, and I hadn't seen it in years, and it's when Lisa wants to go vegetarian, and the "You Don't Make Friends with Salad" song just had us rolling with laughter. And I hadn't seen that in so long.
It's genius.
I can't tell you how many, we were just watching it on demand, and we kept running it back. We were making fools of ourselves laughing at it. Because it's so random that, Lisa, you don't make friends with salad. You don't make friends with salad. The whole the family breaks into dance and just sing, chants that. It's one of the funniest, most random
genius.
Things. Yeah.
That's why I love it. And it's just, it's a bunch of things like that where it's like, God, I think what makes me laugh about it is not just the moment, but then to think about how much fun it must have been writing that. I imagine a bunch of people in the writer's room just busting up like, oh my God, they're just talking about these things. Like, you know, it would be hilarious. the same kind of thing with, imagining them duking it out. Like when he's talking about being smart, like I forget exactly what goes down, but he like gets a degree of some sort and it's on the wall, and then the wall catches fire and he has his back to it after he just hung his degree, and I am so smart, S-M-R-T, S-M-A-R-T, and he's like correct himself as the house is burning down behind him. It's just like, that must have just been so much fun to write, and I think that's what makes me laugh about it. It's like at the moment, that's hilarious, but then to think about how hard people had to have been laughing in the writer's room, just like dying, and then the house is burning behind him, like, that'd be genius. It'd be great.
I know. Especially lately, I've been writing a lot. I've been working on a lot of things and frankly, finishing a few things that I've started. And I did do something recently, which I submitted for consideration for something. If nothing happens with it, there's no point in bringing it up. But it was essentially a scene, a beginning, middle, end kind of scene, and I actually sent it to Sherry, who thought it was really funny. And a few moments where I phrased a few things, I was just like, that's funny. Like, it's just that moment where you think, and like, I'm not a comedian. You're not a comedian. It's like, we don't sit and write material. Like, none of this is written. We're just shooting the breeze back and forth. And it's just that moment where you're like, that's funny. I can't believe I didn't think of that till now.
Right.
And you go in it. So I like having those moments kind of by myself. So the writer's room thing makes me laugh or I almost have like this exaggerated fantasy about it where you think like it's a bunch of people trying to turn jokes that are sevens into jokes that are nines.
Right.
And just pitching back and forth and and recently I've been rewatching 2 and a Half Men, which I love for those first several seasons during the Charlie Sheen era.
Sure.
And I'm just like, God, Dad, can you imagine pitching these jokes that are overall seriously off color. It's pretty shocking what they're able to get away with on that show when it came to a lot of the dirty jokes. But I think, God, could you imagine being the person who just like lobbed in that crack?
Right.
Like that's, I'm wondering, like, do you think we'll get away with this? And then submitted it and shot. And
you have to submit it to S&P. Right? And this way, like, we prefer it if this, but you get to keep the joke.
And we've been, well, you've been to sitcom tapings, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you've worked on.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, like, there are literally writers standing there, and if during the taping a joke doesn't land, they rewrite and they come up with variations.
In the middle of it. It's like, well, that didn't go as planned. Huddle up. Let's try this.
Yeah, that didn't get that response. Like I said, that involuntary response. Like, it didn't get the laughs we expected it to. Let's rewrite and we'll rephrase it. And that happened. That's happened to sitcom tapes I've been to. It happened to the one sitcom I was in. It was, right. You know, and that's how it goes because they want to step it up. So there's always that part of me that's like, I wonder if I could, like I said, as a writer, kind of have that fantasy of just like, I wonder if I can do that. Get in there and actually punch up a joke or like land a couple of those jokes. Not just, I mean, you can't do it every day. It's like, sure. You know, I have compared it to, frankly, I've compared podcasting to doing it too, where like it's to get in the Baseball Hall of Fame, you got to hit 1 out of 3. So,
yeah,
and you're a Hall of Famer. So to do that with jokes, it's like, I'm not expecting, yeah, as much as I enjoy doing this show, I'm not like every episode's going to be memorable and you're all going to love it. I mean, I come in here prepared and make with the funny on a weekly basis, but you know, I certainly do want people to enjoy it, but I don't expect everything's going to be an absolute home run and people are going to be talking about it.
There's
on
a documentary
Tuesday.
With the writers of Friends, and they talk about that. It's like, it's really hard to be funny all the time.
Oh, totally.
And they're like, that's why these super popular shows have staffs of huge writers, because it's like, you might be having a really unfunny day.
Yeah.
That's why there are 13 other people here, because if a couple of you are having bad days, the other people are there to compensate for your unfunniness.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't, it's so tough to be professionally funny nonstop and every joke is a 10. Like,
it's a weird,
you know, it's
and
tough.
It's also a strange alchemy that even goes on where it's, The Daily Show is like 16 writers or something like that. And on top of writing, gathering that material and writing jokes about it, you have to have somebody like a Jon Stewart who can deliver it right.
Of course.
And make it funny. So it's like, it seriously is like alchemy, chemistry, whatever you want to call it, where all these stars need to line up.
It all has to come together.
And it's rare. And that's why a lot of stuff sucks, because it doesn't always happen. Not because it's bad, but it just may not land because of a variety of factors.
Sure.
So like when you get something like The Daily Show, that'll run forever, even without, you know, Jon Stewart.
He is Jon Stewart for president.
But for ages now, it's like, well, that's why, because it works. But they have a huge staff because they're trying to build something that's that's that big, that's that consistently funny, that delivers 5 days a week.
Yeah, so, man.
It's a tough racket, but it's, I'd like, I'm with
gotta
you.
Do it.
I'd love to do it. Yeah, somebody does. Do you have anything to plug? I know you're busy and we've been intending to do this for a long time. Do you have anything in the hopper? Anything completed? If
things,
not, it's okay.
Things coming up that I guess I shouldn't talk about yet.
That's fine.
Give it time.
You'll be
give
on next
time.
Week.
Give it time.
You're on regularly.
Hey, okay. It's John Kay.
Yeah, on Instagram. Follow him.
Sure.
Follow me on Instagram.
You can join the other 250 people on Instagram.
Oh, God damn it. I need more followers.
I wish I was better at social media, dude. I suck at it.
I do, too. I do, too. I'm no good at this. That's why I brought someone in to help with the show social media. I'm I don't like social media. I can't. I just can't handle it.
Right.
And I don't want to spend so much time on it. I'm not adept at it. Let me get a Generation Wire to handle it. I'm clueless.
Pass it off.
I forget. But it's okay because I can host a show. So that's a skill I can put to use.
There you go.
And yeah, follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo and on Instagram at Chris Sells Out. And please like the show. Give the show 5 stars, by the way, everybody. There's, I keep saying it, but there's actually a weird, and just for the sake of clarity, there's some algorithm when it comes to your show getting recommended on iTunes, and it includes new subscriptions plus ratings plus reviews and so forth. So I mention that every week because it's all part of spreading the word. You know, this isn't a 7-figure show by any stretch. So, you know,
it's not.
I'm sorry.
Wait a
you're
second.
You're like, wait, I've been asking for checks for 5 months and you're telling me this is why I haven't gotten any?
Come on.
I've been putting you on this whole time. So please rate the show 5 stars. We do appreciate it. Subscribe to the show and spread the word. Spread the YouTube episodes around or share the iTunes link. Whatever. Just help spread the word. You can follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Tumblr at Cape Pod. And, of course, like the show on Facebook. Please give it the thumbs up. And be back next week with John. JK will be back next week along with Norman and Candace and... We'll be giving you all some erotica, and it'll be a good time. So look forward to that. And always tune in 9 p.m. SkidRowStudios.com. And until next time, for John Karunas and Cheyenne and Sherry, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment. See you next week.
Get her done.